My name is Ashley Yeo. In this podcast to accompany InVivo's BioWales 2024 coverage, I'm talking to one of the conference's speakers, an entrepreneur and innovator, and someone who has lots of useful experience to impart to prospective health tech market entrants. John McKinley, you are CEO of ImSpex Diagnostics, which is developing a breatholmics technology for clinical use. What is the basis of the technology?
We use a technology called GCIMS, so gas chromatography, and we link that with IMS, which is again a secondary platform technology, but together they can identify volatile organic compounds, which are essentially the signatures that you get in any human and or mammalian species. You give off smells, you give off breath. Any form of indications can be identified if you've identified what that target is. And the aptitude that we have is to be able to work towards building that identification process of what that breath can analyse. So breatholmics is in its early stage, but it's being advanced now across a whole range of diseases around the world, which we want to capture with our partners.
What is the clinical platform you're developing?
Well, we have already a range of instruments that actually detect VOCs, the signatures, for the large range of industrial chemicals, for waste gases. We've recently received accreditation, and uniquely for both the US and the European standards, for what we call siloxane testing. So that's in instruments and things like that. And that ensures that the instruments work well, the engines work well, and whether identification comes cheaper and more efficient systems for a lot of the treatment, water treatments and otherwise. But the platforms that we've been using, and we have one particular for breath testing, which is called the BreathSpec, and that was the one that we used in 2022. We worked actually for about 2 years with international partners to establish breath testing as being possible to identify COVID-19. We actually received the European accreditation, the CE mark, in May 2022, which was the first ever accreditation for breath testing.
And BreathSpec is being developed in new iterations, of different iterations. So, John, what are the markets that you're addressing and where?
Well, to even undertake the breath testing that we did for COVID-19, we had 8 international partners. So we had them in the UK, we had them in Germany, we had them in the United States, Sri Lanka, and others, Singapore. And we had a variety of collections of the breath from COVID patients. There were obviously quite a few around at that time, but this was a new collection process. We then combined all of that data that we received from COVID patients, used analytics to identify what was a common outcome, which was that you either have COVID-19 or you didn't have COVID-19. So that was our first. So we had COVID-19 was our first indication, but we're now working on probably about 6 with partners, and we believe in partnering with the research and development centres around the world, who will undertake that research and development, use our instruments to detect other forms of disease. So we have some that are doing flu, for example, and we're looking at doing a composite flu and COVID test, as you're getting others, using breath. We're looking at sepsis, we are looking at various cancers, again a broad range of indications that will identify one or more biomarkers that could be then identified for detection. If you can detect the biomarkers, we can train the algorithms to detect it in the instrument. But that means that has to come from a next generation development of the instrument itself. It needs to become more intelligent. We need to be able to use it in more clinical settings. It needs the connectivity between the results that are developed into clinical actions, ultimately for the clinicians and for the patient's use. So there's a way to go, probably the next 3 to 4 years, of development of a very much more intelligent instrument that can connect with hospital administrations, clinicians and patients.
The COVID test was regulated at the EU, but can you tell us about the regulatory plans for the iteration products going forward?
We believe in there being accredited standards for breath testing. One of the biggest problems that there is that there is no common standard for collecting breath. storing breath and then analyzing it. And if you can't have standards of that, then you can't collate data from different sources. And the whole concept that we're building is of a data bank which has common standards being set for that collection, curation, and then distribution of those breath samples. So that's the first stage, and accreditation for that is different from what I'd call the regulatory accreditation, which you get out of the UK, now as a separate area to Europe, and the FDA in America. And I've always looked at the USA as being a primary focus for us, partly because, of course, it's the biggest market in the world. It has the biggest revenue streams that are possible, but the FDA is also quite advanced in the way in which they look at new technologies. There is a way to go to further accreditation, but I think we can get there within the next 2 to 3 years on maybe one or more biomarker indications for breath, would be my ambition for that, my goal. And then we'd look at what the UK is actually going to be doing with its own regulatory standard, which is one of the biggest problems. Do we follow the UK, and does the UK then follow the EU or the FDA? So I will be concentrating on the FDA in the first instance. I know what I'd term the predicate, so what is the instrument that we'd be comparing ourselves to in other samples? We're breath, and therefore there aren't really many breath instruments out there. But I'll be using others, such as PCR, because what you have to show is whether you're equal to or better than what is else on the market now. So that's accuracy. It's being able to show the clinical data that you've collected has been done so properly, and that your algorithms therefore work, and your instrument is not a risk to its users. And I've always developed instruments.
It's interesting you should talk about the dilemma you have in terms of where you go for your regulation, but you also talked there about competitors in the market and other instruments. So can you give us a very brief overview of the competitors in the market?
There's quite a landscape in that there's a lot of interest now in breath testing. I think there's sufficient supporting data for this to become a sector, and that's what you really want it to become. So I would say that competition is good because it is evidencing that there is a market. And some of the biggest, if I call it industrial clinical partners, the global entities, are looking at this as well. And that comes to my eventual partnering. I want to have partnered trials, partnered commercialization, because we need to accelerate that opportunity. But there are entities in Singapore, United States, in the UK, also in Italy, which are already doing breath testing. And they have brought out a varying range of instruments which aren't particularly user-friendly. And if you want to have an instrument that is going to be accepted, you need it to be one that has been engineered, it has been built to a standard, so you need the ISO 13485. You also need the quality management systems to give it the security for use. So we've been actually doing that using grants. And I would say that probably we have the widest use across the world of our breath spec instrument range. So having that establishes credentials within those R&D areas. We support them wherever they may be, and will also give us the customer feedback as to what they would like to see in the next generation that we have, which we can then turn into development with the regulatory processes and with the regulatory authorities. So there are a number of competitors. It's growing, but very few have actually installed base instruments. We have 2 or 3 in Wales. We have a number else in the UK. We are in Sri Lanka. We're in the United States. We're in Europe, particularly in certain countries. And we're looking to expand that into the Middle East and Gulf, where there is a very big market for what I term pioneering technologies. They're prepared to put money now behind something that is different, that could provide an industry around it, and therefore investment becomes interesting to them, as opposed to just being sold instruments.
And you've described it, breathomics, as the next generation of testing, and you've described there the ideal partners that you would select or need in the market for product development. So can you give us a few more specifics, perhaps, about where you might need to go to as a priority for your next partnership needs?
There are going to be different partnerships. So there are going to be what I call working partnerships, which would be in the instrument development and design stages for that. We already have the instrument, but I ultimately want to lead this towards handheld breath testing, not dissimilar to police using it for alcohol testing. If you can imagine that being available for breath testing in a Homeland Security environment where there has been an incident, unknown or otherwise, where you would want to actually triage hundreds of patients. You don't want large instruments, you don't want to have to send samples to a far-off laboratory. You need to have it there and then on the ground. So I want to move from what I call larger instruments, still portable, still able to be used at point of need, to handheld. And how we build that is with partnerships. So that's going to be with industry partnerships on contract manufacturing. It'll be with partnering with a clinical entity that can help accelerate distribution of those devices into market. The biggest ones are known by everybody. You have J&J on devices, and you have a whole range of other pharmaceutical companies who have particular requirements for whether that's vaccines, whether that is therapies, or virals. So obviously infectious disease testing is very big for that. But we can't do it all, and that's why partnering to me underpins both security for the development program, but also security for market access, faster, accelerated, bringing revenues more quickly. We could have a very long journey if we tried to do it ourselves, and I frankly don't think that is feasible, both with UK funding, but also with the markets accelerating in different areas that they are now. We need to leapfrog from current instrument ranges into smaller ones and ones that can be utilised and adopted by clinicians.
And a final question, as an independent SME, you can't do everything, as you've explained there. And here at BioWealth today, talking to the audience here, how do you see future fundraising needs for ImSpecs?
Well, we'll be fundraising for working capital. That will give us the time to be able to identify all of the biomarker targets with all of our current R&D partners around the world, prioritise those, but also then look at the market potential and look at the market potential for industrial partnership. So I'll be looking for funding in co-development with an ultimate commercial end point. That's dangerous if you were to link only to one entity, but you could do that by having a particular target which one big pharmaceutical or diagnostic company wants to direct its attention to. So we could have a number of partners, which then doesn't alter the opportunity to have an exit in due course. In terms of funding, we're already talking to current investors, and we already have DBW, Development Bank of Wales, as an historic investor, and they're looking at coming in again. We're also looking at third parties as well, so I'm talking to a range of VCs in the UK, but also in overseas markets as well. So Germany, where we have a subsidiary, and also in the Gulf countries as well. I also want to establish a United States office at some point, because the grants and actually the opportunities there are huge for larger amounts of money to drive a much longer program than we will necessarily get in the UK. DBW is a very good long-term partner, and they provide that security in defence of your IP, which I believe is very important, but we also need more money than perhaps is going to be available if we take on a number of indications. We are a larger entity at the moment, we're not an SME, but we will become one quite soon due to various activities that we're undertaking. So we go back to becoming a facilitator for grants in the UK, Europe and elsewhere.
Very interesting. Thank you, John McKinley, for talking to MedTech Insight here at BioWales 2024 today.
Thank you very much indeed for the opportunity.